upcoming history. The first school in Casper opened. Okay, I'm going to ask you the date, but I'm going to give you a hint. It occurred one day before we became a state. So what year, not one day, one year before it became a state. What year was it then? Yes! 1889. Today is day 15 of the proposed 20-day session. Tomorrow is the last day for bills to be reported out of committee in the second house. Okay, we have... Okay, reading and introduction. I thought we were done with this the other day, members of the Senate. We're not. Good little House bills. House Bill 168. Reading clerk, please read in the House bill.
House Bill 168, Stand Your Ground 2, sponsored by Representative Salazar. Passed the House, ayes 47, noes 11, excuse 2.
House Bill 168, referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. And Mr. Chairman, I would appreciate you getting that right on the calendar and get that heard. Would the Sergeant Arms please come up here for a second? Reports from standing committees.
March 2, 2018. Mr. President, your committee number 7, to whom was referred House Bill 14, engrossed municipal jurisdiction, respectfully report same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Agar, Case, Nethercott, Pappas, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman. March 2, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 12, to whom was referred House Bill 192, Legislator Communications on Recordings and Broadcasts, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Bebout, Hastert, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern. Senator Bebout, Chair. Mr. President, your committee number 9, to whom was referred House Bill 36, engrossed, move over requirement, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Coe, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern. Senator Von Flatern, Chairman.
Okay, bill on second reading. I don't need that. House Bill 8, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 8, Stocking Revisions.
House Bill 8, having read two separate times, the question is to the House Bill read a third time here, no objection. So ordered. House Bill 10, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 10, Workers' Compensation, Extraterritorial Reciprocity.
House Bill 10, having read two separate times, the question is shall the House Bill read a third time here, no objection. So ordered. House Bill 17, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 17, Child Support Amendments.
House Bill 17, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House be read a third time here, no objections? So ordered. House Bill 18, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 18, Non-Resident Employer Bonding.
House Bill 18, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House be read a third time here, no objections? It is so ordered. House Bill 32, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 32, School Finance Major Maintenance Formula.
House Bill 32, I've been read two separate times. The question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time here? No objection. It is so ordered. House Bill 33, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 33, School Finance Capital Construction Amendments.
House Bill 33, I've been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time here? No objection. So ordered. House Bill 34, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 34, Duplicate Titles, Motor Vehicles.
House Bill 34, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time here? No objections. It is so ordered. House Bill 35, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 35, Motor Club Services Updates.
House Bill 35, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House bill be read a third time here? No objections. It is so ordered. House Bill 77, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 77, In-Stream Flow Consultant.
House Bill 77, have been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections. It is so ordered. House Bill 100, Second reading of the House bill.
House Bill 100, State Emergency Response Commission Membership.
House Bill 100, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Here, no objections. It is so ordered. House Bill 109, second reading of the House bill.
House Bill 109, Public Employee Retirement Plan Contributions.
Okay, we do have an amendment. Reading clerk, please read that amendment in.
House Bill 109, second reading amendment number 1, page 4, lines 18 through 23.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 109 and ask the body to vote aye. Mr. President, what this does is it's fairly simple. The amendment, what it does, if you go to page 4 and 5, it basically deletes the new language in section 5. And so the reason for this and the purpose of this is that this removing this section doesn't change the contribution. What this section does is really, if you look at lines 19, you have for employees of employers specified in Wyoming Statute 9-3-402A, Romanet 6, Cap B, Cap C, Cap D, Cap S, Cap U, and Cap W. It talks about what those amounts, and it gives specific amounts, and the requirement is that the employer is basically prohibited from paying the employee portion of those of the retirement for those employees. So it will not change or reduce the total amount that goes in, and they'll still have the increases which are contained elsewhere in the bill. But what that does, if you go to line 19, Cap B, I believe, is hospital districts. Cap C, I think, is municipalities. Cap D, if I remember right, is school districts. Cap S is special districts, counties, and some other folks are in there. And so the reason I do that, Mr. President, is quite frankly a couple reasons. One is we don't look at those budgets. We don't look at the individual budgets of school employees. We don't look at the individual budgets of municipalities. We don't look at the individual budgets of hospital districts or county-owned hospitals. We don't look at the specific budgets of the other entities that are on there. They get tax revenues, and they've got boards that follow those. As a part of that, oftentimes there's a part of the negotiation is that the employer will pay a portion of the employee's retirement contributions. So one, I think it's too much oversight from Big Brother being the state of Wyoming. But the other side of it is that it also costs more money to do it this way. If you force that to happen, if the employee simply pays it, it doesn't go in the employee, it doesn't add to the employer's wages that are taxable for FICA. So if by doing this we can do a couple things. One, we can save them money. If we don't remove this, they'll have to pay the employer's portion on anything that this money will show up on the W-2 as a wage. There'll be a deduction and down the box, but they'll still be paying Social Security tax on it. In addition, the state will have to match that. So that's 15.3% will have to be added to those budgets to cover what's not paid by the employer. Additional part that, and you may have done that, a lot of people have done that, I know I've done that in businesses that I've been in, is we look as our employees, especially when money's tight, we find that we can improve and enhance their retirement benefits at a cheaper cost than we can if we simply increase the salaries and then cover it the other way. So I think the two things, one, it will save money. This, by doing this amendment, it will save money at least 15.3% on those amounts that employers pay on behalf of those folks. It's a very common thing, especially in school districts, to do this, part of their employment contracts. And so we're also interfering with those. But it'll save money. It'll save payments, having to make payments on that money to both federal unemployment taxes as well as state unemployment taxes. And then the other part is just, frankly, we shouldn't be that far down in the weeds with these independently run agencies. Ask for your support.
Further discussion. Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the sponsor of the amendment, I'm trying to figure out is if the employer pays an additional amount into the retirement system, then it goes on wages, but the employee must pay the complete Social Security, the 15 point whatever that is. Is that the way it works? I'm just curious.
Any other questions before the sponsor? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, am I correct in understanding with school districts in here that'll work back through our formulas and we, the state, will have to pay more?
Okay, anybody else for the first time before the sponsor speaks for a second time? Senator Perkins, do you wish to respond to those questions?
Sure, I'd be happy to, Mr. President. Just for an example, let's say that this is $100. Let's say that there's $100 involved in this employer-employee contribution. If the employer pays that directly, just simply pays that. It's not additional wages. It's not anything else. But if they were to raise or force the employee to pay that on that $100, you would pay 50. In addition to that, the employer would pay 7.65% of that for Medicare and Social Security taxes. In addition, the employer would have to match that. So there'd be an additional. So the employer would have to match that. So 15.3 would come out of that. So now they're down to $85 on that benefit. In addition, that would cost the state $7.65 on that $100. Additionally, it also, so the way these work is you end up paying, you don't have to pay income tax on it because it'll be deducted, and it'll be deducted lower down in a lower box on your W-2. So you won't do that, but you do have to pay Social Security tax on it. And so I think that answers both those questions. And with respect, and that's exactly right, ultimately that's doing this will actually cost school districts more, and we all know that the more it costs, the faster the model increases.
Okay, we're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 109. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. House Bill 109 having read two separate times. The question is, shall the House bill be read a third time here? No objections? So ordered. House Bill 125, second reading of the House bill.
House Bill 125, Wyoming Lottery Revenues.
We have a second reading amendment. Reading clerk, please read that amendment in.
House Bill 125, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 3.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I'd move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 125. And ladies and gentlemen, this just provides some clarity. There's been some discrepancies on how the lottery board has viewed the use of debit cards to purchase lottery tickets. This just brings in and restores the full intent of the legislature when we passed this law in 2013 that you have to use cash. We've already said you can't use credit cards, checks, any other form. But because of the expansion and the uncertainty of what debit cards are, this just provides clarity for the lottery board that we're not going to allow people to use debit cards. There's a whole host of reasons as to why that's not a good idea, Mr. President. But with that, I'd stand for any questions.
Questions? Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I certainly understand checks and credit cards, but... I look at my family and my son, who's a millennial, son and daughter of millennials. They don't carry cash. I mean, it's a debit card. So I guess if there's a whole host of reasons, I'm open to hear them. But a debit card, my understanding is a debit card is basically a way to, it's the same thing as cash. You're taking, the money's there, you're doing it, you're saying you can't spend your own money the way you want to. I understand the problems with checks and bounce checks and different things like that. I don't know if those same issues are true with debit cards. I'm kind of old-fashioned. I still use a lot of cash, Mr. President. So I don't quite understand that. But I'm just wondering why we would have debit cards excluded when it represents cash in the bank and it's their cash.
Okay. Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I'm just looking at this bill and whether we've amended it so much in here that it's beyond the scope of the catch title. Have we adequately given customer or our citizens of Wyoming notice that we're discussing debit cards? That's not – the bill title is an act relating to the Wyoming Lottery, clarifying that lottery games shall be operated and managed in a manner that maximizes revenues to the state and providing for an effective date. Doesn't say anything about how lottery tickets are purchased, Mr. President. And I know that the amendment does amend the bill title, but the purpose of the bill title is to provide notice to the citizens what the bill's content is going to be, and this seems that it is broaden that content considerably.
Senator Ron Flater.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would disagree with my fellow senator from Lander on the title and the way it's put in there, because I think this exactly clarifies and is incorporated in the title lottery revenue. And the reason that debit cards would be placed in there, speaking on in favor of this amendment to clarify things for them, is the reason debit cards are in there is sometimes it takes 24 hours before they actually receive their money. Plus, when you slide the card in, the clerk is not supposed to be able to see you put your PIN number in or any of that, so that's why those little card readers with the chips especially, or the ones you slide, are facing away from you. So they can't tell whether you used a charge card, a credit card, or a debit card. So this is why we need to clarify the fact that you can't use either, because they don't know what you're using, and also the fact that they'll have to carry a little bit of cash if they want to buy lottery tickets.
Senator Hastert.
Mr. Chairman, and it just my concern is coming from kind of what my good colleague from Casper noted, and for the whole host of reasons, I think people can get in a lot more trouble with checks faster than they can in this day and age with debit cards. If you don't have funds in a debit card, it's going to get declined. And so, whether the individual knows, the proprietor knows whether you're using a debit or credit card, as a good colleague from Gillette commented, but the machine knows, the system knows whether you're using a debit or credit card. And you can't process a debit card without putting your PIN in, and then the system knows. You can try and say, well, it's a credit card, but then that's not a valid form of sale with that. So I'm just concerned that people can get a lot more trouble a lot faster with checks and checks bouncing than they can with the debit cards.
Yeah, Mr. Vice President, you want to speak again? Go ahead.
Second time.
Now I want you to come up here.
Okay. I will tell you that it says that all sales shall be for cash only, and payment by checks, debit card, credit cards, charge cards, or any other form of payment is prohibited. So you couldn't write a check. The fact that you can use a debit card, and some readers can be locked out where you aren't allowed to purchase a lottery ticket, and they can lock it out, but some readers are not. So we're saying all readers will not have the ability to lock out your debit card when you want to purchase a lottery ticket. And with that said, I'll come up here. Mr. President?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Vice President. Member of the Senate on and in favor of the amendment. And when I read this, in fact, I went to the Revenue Committee meeting here last year, and they had this very discussion. And the thing I would mention to the senators, if you're going to look at this, I think you should err on the side of caution. You know, when you go into there, I think that obviously lottery and is gambling, and I think that if you're going to do this thing, cash is the way it should be. When we debated the lottery bill, we talked about cash. There was never any intention to be debit cards. You know, that's something that came up during the discussion of the Revenue Committee, and I just think we ought to just say no to debit cards. I understand the millennials. I understand they want to have access to those cards, but in my way of conservative good old thinking is that, we shouldn't do debit cards. If you want to buy a lottery ticket, have cash in your pocket. If you don't have the cash in the pocket and you want to buy a lottery ticket, go to the ATM machine. I just think you ought to have it in there, and I would support the amendment.
Further discussion on amendment number one, second reading amendment number one.
Okay, we're voting on.
Mr. President.
Oh, Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to thank the good Vice President for the note and the clarification. I did misread that section on the, and that I'm supportive of that.
Okay, for your second time, Senator Hicks.
Yeah, Mr. President, and again, there is some rationale from this, and to answer my colleague from Natrona County's concerns is there is bank programs that allow debit cards to incur debt. There is bank programs that your debit account is attached to your savings account, and that comes with interest. So if you overrun that buying a lottery ticket, then it comes out of your savings, then you have an interest payment or a deficit there. So what we're trying to do is say is here, look, if you're going to buy it, use cash, we certainly, and probably the most vulnerable, are our millennials that may have a propensity on occasion to overdraw that comes with penalties attached to their savings account, attached to penalties. So I think it's just it just clears it up. It's cash, cash only, on and for the amendment.
Okay, we're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 125. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
That amendment has passed. House Bill 125, we've read two separate times. The question is, shall the House bill be read a third time? Heard no objections. So ordered. House Bill 164, second reading of the House bill.
House Bill 164, overweight vehicles, agriculture exemption.
House Bill 164, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House bill be read a third time? Heard no objection. It is so ordered. House Joint Resolution Number 2, second reading of the Joint Resolution.
House Joint Resolution 2, Commercial Driver's License Compact Agreement.
House Joint Resolution 2, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the Joint Resolution be read a third time? Heard no objections. So ordered. Senator Meyer.
I have privilege of the floor.
Yes, sir, you may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, fellow senators in the fishbowl out here, we've got some great kids from Lingle Fort Laramie High School. They're down here with their teacher, A.J. Gross. Would you please help me welcome them to the Senate?
Are they bachelors?
Yeah, members of the Senate, we also have some students from Riverton High School down here today. They came down to watch the process, to participate. And Senator Coe, I believe they were in your committee this morning on House Bill 140. Members of the Senate, please help me welcome. They're with their principal, John Griffin, back here to the left. We have Kat Tyler, Darius Tillman, Joseph Thornton, and Ella Hawk. Welcome to the Senate. Let's give them a hand. You know, members of the Senate, we had breakfast earlier this morning with these young people in Fremont County Caucus. Senator Case was there, and I felt like I was in a committee room being grilled. They really understand what's going on. They came down to present their side of their points of view on different issues. So once again, welcome, and thanks for all you did and the research to be able to do it. And I understand you went to a city council meeting the other night, a school board meeting the other night. They're back there nodding, keeping me lined out, and participated in that process. So welcome. Enjoy your stay here in Cheyenne and for watching the Senate in operation. Third bill's on third reading for House bills. Do we have a consent list, Mr. Majority Floor Leader? Okay, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do we have a consent list?
Yes, Mr. President, we do have a consent list. Mr. President, I move the third reading consent list, which is as follows. House Bill 2, Election Law Violations, Penalties and Enforcement. That's House Bill 2.
Take that off right off the bat, would you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader?
Oh, we have an amendment, so scratch that one. Situation's fluid, Mr. President.
Yeah.
House Bill, so we'll start over again. Mr. President, I do have a considered reading amendment.
A third reading amendment or consent list?
That too. I want to kind of move to amend the third reading consent list. So let me start over again. If I may strike the record on that, Mr. President, I'll start over. Mr. President, I do have a third reading consent list, which is as follows. House Bill 3. County Clerk Map Recording Fees, Conforming Amendment. House Bill 4, Investment of State Funds, Amendments. House Bill 9, Obsolete Reporting Department of Workforce Services. House Bill 21, State Parks Designations, Updates. House Bill 22, Quebec One Missile Alert Facilities, Fees. House Bill 101, Electronic Corporate Records. House Bill 110, Wyoming Retirement Plans Member Accounts, House Bill 126, Limited Liability Companies, Series, and House Joint Resolution 8, 150th Anniversary of the 1868 Treaty of Fort Bridger.
Would any members of the Senate like any of these House bills removed from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 3, County Clerk Map Recording Fees, Conforming Amendment. House Bill 4, Investment of State Funds Amendments. House Bill 9, Obsolete Reporting Department of Workforce Services. House Bill 21, State Parks Designation Updates. House Bill 22, Quebec One Missile Alert Facilities Fees. House Bill 101, Electronic Corporate Records. House Bill 110, Wyoming Retirement Plans Member Accounts. House Bill 126, Limited Liability Companies Series. And House Joint Resolution 8, 150th Anniversary of the 1868 Treaty of Fort Bridger. Chief Clerk, please call the roll for the consent list.
On the consent list, Agar?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Excused.
Excused. Ellis?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Excused.
Rothfuss,
oh.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Wasserberger? President Bebout.
Aye.
On the consent list, 29 aye, 1 excused. House Bill 3, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 3, 29 aye, 1 excused. House Bill 4, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 4, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 9, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 9, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 21, are there any changes?
Bebout, no.
Bebout, no.
Case, no.
Case, no.
Perkins, no.
Perkins, no. Co, I to no.
Agar,
I to no. Dockstetter, I to no.
Bouchard,
I to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 21, 22 I. 7, no, 1 excused. House Bill 22, are there any changes? Agar, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Wasserberger, aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Von Platern, aye to no. Driscoll?
Aye.
Case, aye to no.
Bebout, I don't know.
Bebout, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 22. 22 aye, 8 no. House Bill 101, are there any changes?
Driscoll?
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 101, 30-I. House Bill 110, are there any changes? Closing vote. Driscoll, aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 110, 30-I. House Bill 126, are there any changes? Burns, aye to no. Scott, aye to no. Driscoll, excuse to aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 126, 28 aye, 2 no. House Joint Resolution 8, are there any changes? Driscoll? Excuse to aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Joint Resolution 8, 30-I.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 3, County Clerk Map Recording Fees Conforming Amendment. House Bill 4, Investment of State Funds Amendments. House Bill 9, Obsolete Reporting, Department of Workforce Services. House Bill 21, State Parks Designations Updates. House Bill 22, Quebec One Missile Alert Facility Fees. House Bill 101, Electronic Corporate Records. House Bill 110, Wyoming Retirement Plans Member Accounts. House Bill 126, Limited Liability Company Series. And House Joint Resolution 8, 150th anniversary of the 1868 Treaty of Fort Bridger have passed the Senate. Members of the Senate, we have a special guest this morning. Joining us to share some of his work is Wyoming's Poet Laureate, Eugene Gagliano, who was appointed by Governor Meade in July of 2016. Eugene is a retired elementary school teacher from Buffalo, where my dad went to high school, and an award-winning author of 13 children's books. His writing celebrates life in Wyoming and the West. Please give him a warm Senate welcome to Wyoming's Poet Laureate, Eugene Gagliano.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Senate. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay? I have a soft voice now. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank the Wyoming Arts Council for providing me the opportunity to read my poetry to you this morning. And I'd like to thank you, the senators, for the hard work that you guys do in helping to keep our state the wonderful place that it is to live in. I do appreciate that. I selected four pieces here. We'll start with this one called Wagon Wheel. An aged and weathered wagon wheel at the edge of a flower garden leans against a house entwined by morning glory vines the color of Wyoming sky. Did it once carry a family's means of survival in a covered wagon on a journey of dreams over endless dusty miles of scorching sun and taunting winds? Does it speak of the circle of life? Remember the heartache of despair, of the miles of sacrifice, pain, and loss, death march or freedom's road? Is it just a nostalgic ornament resting after its long journey, waiting to rot back to earth? Or is it a symbol of strength, faith, courage, hope for a new generation's vision? This next poem was written after listening to Shiloh Ranch, which is a Wyoming tone poem. It was commissioned by the Wyoming Arts Council for its 50th anniversary. In a world premiere, it performed at the Wyoming Arts Summit by the UW Symphony. It's called Winds of Wyoming. The winds of Wyoming surf lofty peaks of ice-carved cathedrals, fueling eagle engines that glide on thermal updrafts over rocky tree line into thick forest and open parks and meadows. Winds sift through the pine needles into glacial valleys where stoic bull elk and buck deer rule immense herds of grazing life. Wyoming winds filter down into plentiful prairies of grass and sagebrush owned by pronghorn antelope. Winds shatter the silent deserts where wild horses race with it, tangling and braiding their manes and tails. The winds of Wyoming follow the cottonwood-lined rivers, awaken them and the quaking aspen into trembling and shaking, taunting their laughing leaves into waving goodbye. The winds of Wyoming are royalty that reign the land. This is for a bit of levity. This comes from a new book that I had just published called Is It True? It's called Heard That Before. The dog ate my homework, is what I had said. The teacher frowned, I wished I were dead. How did he eat it, baked, boiled, or fried? He ate it raw, I said, and I cried. Did he chew it all up? Did he think it was yummy? Did it make him real sick? Did it upset his tummy? To tell you the truth, I've heard that before. You have to have proof, or you'll do it once more. My dad said the evidence might make you gag, but I brought you the proof right here in this bag. I'd like to close with this one called Poets. Some say poets see the world through rose-colored glasses, but I think they see it more clearly. The poet is stirred to express life in words, sometimes overly sensitive to the human condition, compelled to try and capture snippets of life, help visualize moments that awaken the heart, revive memories, to see in the mirror of truth a humor in a situation, create awareness so often overshadowed by daily life. The poet observes the world for inspiration, searches the caverns of the soul, seeking meaning and understanding, using his craft as a gift to convey our innermost thoughts and deepest emotions, strengthen our faith, enable others to express feelings they themselves cannot verbalize. The poet is not afraid to let others look into his soul. Thank you.
Members of the Senate, I have a token that we're going to present to you, Gene, and thank you so much for doing what you do and bringing those poems to us. We're thinking of prayers. We need some prayers for the Senate. But those poems, especially the one with humor, we need a little humor in this body, although we are trying to maintain a good attitude. That'll certainly help us. Thank you so much, and this is for you. Eugene has graciously agreed to autograph those poems and distribute them to us for our own personal use. Thank you so much, Eugene. House Bill 2, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 2, Election Law Violations, Penalties, and Enforcement, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, an act relating to elections.
We have an amendment. Reading clerk, please read that one in.
House Bill 2, third reading amendment, number 1, to engrossed copy, page 1, line 6.
Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I would move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 2. Mr. President, this is a piggyback. I want to be clear about that, Mr. President.
There was another piece of legislation that was an interim committee project that dealt with the offenses of false registration and false voting, Mr. President. Done a lot of research that fits into this bill, Mr. President, and it, I asked for LSO opinions, and I've been all around. And what this would do is it was there was another piece of legislation, and it wasn't considered for introduction by our friends down the hall, Mr. President. So this is a product of the interim committee work, and if you think it's important, vote for it. But what it deals with, two areas, the area of false registration and false voting, Mr. President. Right now, those offenses in our law are high felonies. They're, so if you register when you're not supposed to, or you go ahead and vote when you're not supposed to, it's a very high penalty. And maybe in most cases it should be. But, Mr. President, the penalty in the law is 5 years imprisonment and $10,000. So voting laws are confusing. And so sometimes a person has a felony, perhaps from a different state, they may inadvertently believe that they should be able to vote in Wyoming. And right now, if that happens, you're up to against a 5-year penalty and $10,000. What are the consequences? No prosecutor will pursue that. They won't do it. It just doesn't happen. But what this amendment does, and what the previous piece of legislation that your interim committee worked on, was to put in a graduated system of penalties, Mr. Chairman, so that there would be a misdemeanor level, and then there would be a high misdemeanor level, and then the penalty level stands. And it also tells who should investigate these things, because right now it's unclear. So if you can see 2226-102, that's the registration offenses. B is the low misdemeanor, C is the high misdemeanor, D is the same felony we have in our law, and it says the county sheriff shall investigate when it's appropriate. The next one is false voting, Mr. President. You can see on that it's the same graduated system, B, C, and D, and it talks about the county sheriff shall investigate in one instant, and then it also specifies that the appropriate election officials should investigate, Mr. President. That's what the bill does. It's identical to some other legislation. I ask for your favorable consideration because it'll fix a very big problem that we have that needs to be fixed in this election year. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I was just wondering, the sponsor of the amendment, does he have examples of law enforcement having found this and declining to prosecute because of the penalties?
Anybody else for the first time? Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Along those same lines, I'd like to know, you know, if this has really been a problem. It didn't sound like from the sponsor that it is a problem. However, the actions that are prescribed in this new language, I have concerns that it is a bit of a fence out. It makes it difficult for uninformed citizens to participate in a project, and then if they make a mistake and it may have to do with their feelings after losing an election, but this may work against encouraging a citizenry to jump into a fairly complex process. I'd like to see us remain open and wide open to encouraging people to participate. Do we have hard examples of people going to prison? If we do, let's talk about that. If it isn't a problem, let's be careful about this one.
Further discussion. Center office.
Thank you, Mr. President. And, Mr. President, maybe I'm confused with the amendment, but based on the previous questioning, it seems to indicate that maybe this applies to candidates. I don't see anything here that applies to candidates. I thought this was only based on voters and current voter fraud statutes versus an update. So if the bringer would clarify that, I don't know if the concerns that we just heard expressed are in this amendment.
Senator Nethercott.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just for clarity to the body, this particular amendment was worked heavily through the Corporations Committee. The issue really brought to us by the clerks, really expressing their frustration with and their disappointment in the integrity of the election system in this state, in that people are allowed to vote illegally or fraudulently without any kind of repercussions. And so really what they try to, you know, they take significant time and effort to make sure our elections are done properly with proper notice and proper timing, and they just feel like all of that effort goes to the wayside when the laws aren't enforced and there's no clear punishment associated with voter fraud, essentially. And so that's the impetus for this particular amendment. And I just want the body to know that it comes from those clerks and their frustrations and the lack of the perceived inability to enforcement, or from the county attorneys who say, we've got bigger fish to fry, rather than somebody who would vote illegally multiple times in the same election.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, there was a call for hard examples. We had one of those in our county not too many years ago. I can remember it quite clearly. The district system was relatively new, and there were a number of people that voted in an election that gave a parking lot as being their residence address, and others that gave a vacant lot. We couldn't get anything done about it. The election was close enough, so it might have altered the outcome, Mr. President. So it can be a problem, and that's where the problem in our county has arisen on occasion.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I think that we all want to encourage the process and folks getting involved in the process and voting, but we don't want to encourage fraudulent offenses as it's relating to the voting process. I think this strikes a good happy medium from where we were at a huge 5 years or $10,000 fine, which was the beginning fine, as to getting it a little bit cut down to where people would actually, I think, go through the process as far as our sheriffs. And it's a good thing that we got the sheriff investigating in this one here instead of leaving it to the county prosecutor to initiate something. I think that this is probably the right way that the sheriff will do it at the request of the county clerk. So the process is delineated, and the fine is, I think, appropriate, Mr. President, and I hope that you would support this amendment.
Anybody else for the first time? Senator Case for your second time.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Thank you for the discussion. So this creates a graduated scale. If you vote falsely and or register falsely and it's not a knowing situation, you didn't know you were committing a crime, it's a $200 penalty. If you know that you shouldn't be registering or shouldn't be voting, it's a high misdemeanor, which is 1 year and $5,000, still a very significant penalty. And if you do it again, then the felony provisions kick in, Mr. President. Right now, the problem is you go to a county attorney, and I've been to mine, and my county clerk has been to mine, and they won't. They're not going to send someone back to prison for registering inadvertently. They're just not going to do it. So this is a graduated situation to fit the crime. It'll improve the integrity of our election system, and I urge your support.
Kate. Senator Perkins, are you getting into the debate?
No, just calling for the ayes and the nays.
Okay, the ayes and nays have been called for. Having me read, or not, the third reading amendment number one to House Bill 2, Chief Clerk will please call the roll. You vote aye, you vote for the amendment.
Agar, aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nethercott.
Aye.
Pappas. Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Von Platen?
Aye.
Wasserberger? Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote close. 30 aye.
Third reading amendment number one, having received 30 aye votes to House Bill 2, it has passed. Are you ready for the question? Question being called for. House Bill number 2, having read three separate times, the question is, shall the House bill pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platen?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. House Bill 2, 30 aye.
House Bill 2, having received an affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 2 has passed the Senate. Senator Baldwin, do you wish permission of the floor?
I do. Privilege, please.
You may have it.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to introduce some fine-looking young people back here, and if they would stand, and I'll mispronounce their names if they can raise their hand. This is a 4-H leadership team consisting of the following people: Caitlin Hayward from Pinedale, McKenna Carahan, a senior from Big Piney, Lane Mills from Campbell County, Stevie Moyles from Kemmerer, Morgan Sanchez from Evanston, Garrett Schamber from Pinedale, Katrina Twitchell from Grable, and finally Susanna, the one I'll mispronounce worst, Velesinor. Yeah, close enough. If we could welcome them to the Senate.
Welcome to the Senate. The young gentleman with the last name Schamber, your grandfather wouldn't be named George, would he? No, different one. He's nodding his head yes. He's not shaking his head no. Okay, thank you. Welcome to the Senate. I didn't hear that. House Bill 58, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 58, Game Animal Licenses Limitations, sponsored by Representative Haley, an act relating to game and fish.
Okay, we have a third reading amendment. Reading clerk, please read that amendment in.
House Bill 58, third reading amendment number 1, delete the...
Senator Mone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Senate file amendment number 1 to House Bill...
Third reading amendment number 1.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 58... and ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. Chairman, what this bill is about is to allow the Game and Fish to manage marauding mountain goats and grizzly bear in areas where, in the case of the mountain goats, they're impacting the bighorn sheep with disease and habitat concerns. And, so, and with the second reading amendment, what I did was basically gut the bill, Mr. Chairman. Basically what it says is if you get one of these licenses, you're done. In most cases, those folks probably won't get one if they're going to be done. And the goal is to try to get rid of these goats and bears. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd ask for your favorable consideration of this amendment.
Okay, further discussion. Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, I'm against this bill. And, in fact, the amendment actually made it better, and it provided parity for all of those mountain goat hunters and potentially grizzly bear hunters. So you have to read the actual language in the bill. So if you read the current scenario as it is right now, it says you cannot receive more than one license, period. What the amendment does is allows the Game and Fish Department to come in, and you can issue through rules and regulations multiple licenses, unlimited number of licenses. It just says that if you go into one of these special areas designated by the Game and Fish and you choose to shoot a mountain goat or a grizzly bear, then you've hit the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And why are they a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, Mr. President? In the whole state of Wyoming, we issue 30 mountain goat permits. 3,800 applicants last year for those 30 permits. That's a 0.7% chance of drawing. And that's why, in effect, they're a lifetime permit, is to give somebody else an opportunity to have one of those lifetime chances. What the amendment did, if you leave the bill the way it was, it allows the department to go in, and you could literally have multiple permits. You could have a permit every year and go hunt mountain goats. But when you decide to exercise the full aspects of that permit and shoot one, you're done. If you don't leave the amendment in there, what it says is you can go into one of those units and you could potentially shoot one, and then you could draw that most coveted permit in the state of Wyoming, another one, and take that opportunity away from somebody to have that once-in-a-lifetime chance. So there's a fundamental difference the way the bill's structured. Under the current law, it says you cannot apply for and receive. With the amendment, the second reading amendment says, through rules and regulation, the Game and Fish Department can issue an unlimited number of permits. They could issue hundreds of permits. But if you exercise that permit and shoot an animal, you've forfeited your opportunity to shoot a second one and the other trophy unit. So it's just a matter of parity. Now, I would tell you there's other states that allow the hunting of female mountain goats just to our west, and the odds are 600 to 1 of drawing one of those female permits. So there's an ample opportunity. In effect, what you're going to do is you're going to take those, what I call almost professional hunters, I know many of them around the state of Wyoming, and they're going to have an opportunity to shoot two mountain goats. So where's the parity in that, that somebody that doesn't have the ability, the time, and the ambition to go up there and hunt these unlimited type permits that the department could issue under rule and regulation? So it's just a matter of establishing parity on and against the amendment. It still accomplishes what the department wants to do.
Senator Perkins.
Just a question for the, as I enter this, I'm confused. Should we, one, should this be under the lottery commission, and two, should be able to use a debit card?
Only if there's not an ATM around. Senator Agar.
Mr. President, on and for the amendment. After talking with the agency and the original bringers of the bill early this morning, I would say with the amendment, it does not do what they originally intended, because what they originally intended was hunter-driven population control in the mountain goat population. If you have a once-in-a-lifetime chance to go shoot a mountain goat, are you going to take out the kid that is actually the problem, that is expanding outside the original mountain goat habitat, or are you going to look for the big guy with the big horns? And so at the end of the day, we're not doing population control if we say you only can have one bite at this apple in your lifetime. Thank you, Mr. President.
Center office.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's for the kids.
Okay. Just a second. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I guess this is the time when you say I vote with my friends, and I don't know which the way to vote on this one, Mr. President, but it's you're looking at 1,200 to 1,300 to one shot. It's a lottery. It's a true lottery. You know, if somebody hits two of those, they're awfully lucky. I don't know if it's that big of a deal. The chances are fairly slim that you're going to get two of these in a lifetime if you just keep putting them in and putting them in. Some people put in forever and they never get one. Some people might put in and they'll get two in 10 years. And some people are just luckier than other people, Mr. President.
Anyone else for the first time? Just a second. Senator Hicks for your second time.
Chairman, to answer my colleague from Natrona County, it is a lottery, and no, they don't take debit cards, but they will take your credit card.
Okay, anyone else before the sponsor speaks for his second time? Senator Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's not often I get a second chance on Senator Hicks, so we'll go for it here. Basically, what this comes down to, are we going to let the Game and Fish manage the problem they have? If you're lucky and you get two, you're lucky and you get two. Let's let the Game and Fish manage this process. I ask you to support the amendment. Thank you.
Okay, we're voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 58. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has passed. House Bill 58. Are you ready for the question on it? House Bill 58 had been read three separate times. The question is, shall House Bill 58 pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 58, 27 aye, 3 no.
House Bill 58 had received an affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate. House Bill 58 has passed the Senate. House Bill 70, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. At the request of the executive branch, I ask that House Bill 70 be laid back one more day.
Without objection, so noted. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I believe we're ready for bills on committee of the whole consideration of bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, with that, I move that the Senate resolve itself in the committee of the whole for consideration of these fine little House bills on general file.
You heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senator Ellis.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 28. Will the reading clerk read the House Bill?
House Bill 28, Education Reporting Children of Military Personnel, an Act Relating to Education Accountability, sponsored by the Education Committee, was referred to Committee Number 4, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Coe, Ellis, Pappas, Rothfuss, and Wasserberger. Senator Coe, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Coe?
Do so.
On it.
Move when the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do so with the do pass recommendation on House Bill 28 and defer to Senator Pappas.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. House Bill 28 was the results of a 2017 interim topic the Federal Every Student Succeeds Act. And so we worked it in committee. Department of Education and the Wyoming Military Department collaborated on the draft language in this legislation, and they both fully support this proposal. Local schools would ask about parent, guardian, military membership upon registration of each child each school year. And this is a permissive bill. The parents do not have to submit this information, but the intent of the bill is to collect data on students with parents who are full-time active duty under the Federal Every Student Succeeds Act. That's required for full-time members of the military. What this bill does, it extends that same data collection to the part-time force, to our reserves, both the Guard and the our Federal Reserve Force. The children of these part-time military families also face the same family disruption, uncertainty, and fear of having parent deployed to combat zone, and the added stresses of not being part of their normal life, just like an active duty person. So basically, we're trying to identify these children, and again, it is up to the parent to mark the form when they register their children, so it's they can opt to not do it if they so wish. So just real quickly looking at the bill, the meat of the bill is on page 2. You'll see that the language on line 21, we've inserted students with a parent or guardian who is a member of the armed forces of the United States, whether full-time or part-time. So I encourage, as a former military member and as one who has worked with the military Children's Interstate Compact, I know that it's important for us to track children who are military from military families as they have at times have special needs and special requirements. So it's good to keep track of these folks. And again, it is not required. If the parents don't want them to be tracked, that's fine as well. So I ask you to vote aye on this piece of legislation. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Further discussion?
Question?
All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 28, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. House Bill 28 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 99. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
House Bill 99, Prescription and Possession of FDA-Approved Drugs, sponsored by Representative Barlow, an act relating to controlled substances, was referred to Committee Number 10, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Baldwin, Boner, and Peterson. Excused, Senators Bouchard and Scott. Senator Peterson, Acting Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Scott?
Madam Chairman, I move in the Committee of the Whole rise and report to do so with a recommendation that House Bill 99 do pass. There was no standing committee amendment, and I yield to Senator Baldwin for an explanation of the House bill.
Senator Baldwin.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I bring to you a really simple bill. We have a conundrum in the medical community right now. The Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, is currently evaluating several substances which are soon to be approved. One has actually already been approved. These are cannabinoid oil-related things, and as it stands right now, no prescriber in the state of Wyoming is able to prescribe those things, nor is anyone able to possess those things if they've been prescribed by someone from out of state. What this bill does is it amends Section 35 about delivery and unlawful possession. If you turn to page 2 of the bill, it talks about the drugs that have received final approval from the United States Food and Drug Administration. And the final part of the bill is down on lines 13 through 16. Unless the prescriptions were drug to receive final approval from the U.S. FDA, and that is the key. There are several drugs out there that are nearing the end of that pipeline coming out for approval, some being treated for epilepsy, some for autism, one for glioma, a number of different things, multiple sclerosis and schizophrenia. The point of the bill being is we want to make those drugs available to Wyoming patients as they are cleared and approved after final testing by the FDA, and that's all this bill does is make that available for Wyoming practitioners to write the prescription and for Wyoming patients to possess that prescription once it's been written. And with that, I would ask for your approval and aye vote, please.
Further discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 99, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. House Bill 99 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 31. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
House Bill 31, Hathaway Scholarship Application Deadline Extension, sponsored by Representative Henderson, an act relating to the Hathaway Scholarship Program, was referred to Committee Number 4, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Coe, Ellis, Pappas, Rothfuss, and Wasserberger, Senator Coe, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Coe?
Madam Chairman, moving on to committee, the whole rise and report it do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 31 and defer to the great senator from the Northwest for an explanation of the bill.
Great senator from the Northwest.
That's you.
Oh, well, that's me. Sorry. Okay. House Bill 31, folks, is a fairly simple bill. It just extends the deadline from 2 to 4 years to apply for a scholarship, for Hathaway Scholarship. It's subject to availability funds. Draw attention to the handout I have here. But what it does, extension provides more time for students to find their path in life, protects the military and religious mission students, and allows extra time for students and families to save dollars to cover college expenses. It's also an endow deal, as the governor's objective is to increase the number of people with post-secondary degrees. It's a fairly it's a very simple bill. I want to just quote from an article in the Laramie Boomerang. Legislative bill seeks Hathaway application. A Worland High School graduate, Jerrica Hunter, attended Sheridan College her freshman year with help from Hathaway. She decided to join the U.S. Army following that first year of higher education and served 2 deployments with the 101st Airborne Division. Returning after 4 years and having completed an associate degree during her time in the military, Hunter enrolled at the University of Wyoming. Her 4 years of service encompassed the allotted 2-year gap as well as 2 years of unused eligibility. She was able to use the Hathaway for 1 more year, but continued at UW to complete her degree. I was close enough that it didn't totally destroy my path or anything, she said. But I think there's a lot of high schoolers that go straight into the military, coming back assuming that they're going to have the scholarship, and they don't. I think that's a struggle for a lot of them. So that's what the bill does. Ask for your favorable consideration.
Further discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 31, please say aye. Those opposed, say no. House Bill 31 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 29. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
House Bill 29, Alternative School Accountability, sponsored by the Education Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Accountability in Education Act, was referred to Committee Number 4, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Coe, Ellis, Pappas, Rothfuss, and Wasserberger. Senator Coe, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Coe?
Madam Chairman, move when committee the whole rise and report it do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 29 and defer to Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, I present to you today House Bill 29, Alternative School Accountability, and ask for your favorable support. House Bill 29 is the culmination of over 2 years of work, starting with the Wyoming Accountability Act in Education. The bill establishes a separate accountability system for alternative schools from regular high schools. The bill will change slightly some of the deadlines and require several reports back to the Joint Education Committee. Briefly, I would like to discuss with you the history of alternative school accountability. Currently, there are 21 alternative schools in Wyoming, the largest being right here in Cheyenne with 300 students, called Triumph High School. In 2015, the Wyoming Department of Education was directed by the legislature to develop a framework for alternative school accountability. The direction of the legislature was to create an alternative school accountability model that would describe a more accurate representation of alternative school performance than what is provided with Wyoming's current state accountability model for our traditional high schools. Essentially, a task force was created called the Technical Advisory Group, mostly sometimes called TAG, designed to consider this issue. The alternative school framework was a committee of alternative school principals and superintendents, WDE staff, and the National Center for Assessment. The TAG committee created an accountability system for alternative schools, which would include academic performance, post-secondary preparation, school climate, and student engagement. Achievement will have the same measures used for a general high school's accountability, which will be used for the alternative school accountability, but the cut scores will be slightly lower, and these will be written in the spring of 2018. Growth will be a major part of academic performance measured in percentiles, and growth will be favored over achievement. Post-secondary preparation will be measured by graduation from high school, which will include extended time for students in their fifth or sixth or even seventh year. Students may earn a general high school equivalency certificate or even a career technical education certificate. Credit earning progress will be used for keeping track of students in grades 9, 10, and 11, and the percentage of students earning a quarter of credits necessary to graduate on time will be used to measure post-secondary preparation. Ultimately, this will measure college and career readiness similar to a regular high school. School climate will be measured by an online 24-question student survey covering students' perceptions about the staff and staff respect for students, student support, and student respect for staff and each other, and high expectations for learning. Student engagement will be addressed through a student success plan, which is called an SSP. Student goals and interests, including attendance, will be measured. The student's academic history will be kept, and a student's attendance closely monitored and recorded in the SSP. Students will have a post-secondary plan, and the SSP will describe how students are preparing for college and career. Students will be assigned to a mentor who will help them set goals through their SSP. As a result of the Wyoming Accountability and Education Act separating alternative schools from regular high schools by the legislature, the alternative schools have been held harmless for 2 years, 2016, 2017, and this school year, 2017-2018. In the coming summer, the WDE will set cut scores with the advice of the Technical Advisory Group, which will be lower than the traditional high school. Full implementation will begin in 2018-2019 school year, and alternative schools will receive performance reports based on academic performance, post-secondary preparation, school climate, and student engagement in 2018-2019. So the final question is, how does this comply with the federal government's Every Student Succeeds Act? ESSA requires indicators in achievement, academic growth, graduation rate, English language proficiency, a measurement of school quality and student success, and post-secondary readiness. Wyoming will be outside these federal requirements with their alternative school accountability. ESSA requires all public schools to operate under the same accountability model. The legislature has chosen to push forward with the alternative school accountability model that best fits these special students and has chosen to make it a part of our statewide accountability system. Please remember that ESSA has promised flexibility, and this is an area where Wyoming is asking for flexibility. Our alternative school accountability model has drawn national attention and recognition, and the education community is watching very closely what happens in Wyoming. If we are outside the realm of ESSA, we will fix it statutorily. It is my recommendation that we do this. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the bill. I can walk you through the bill, but I'm sensing that you're fine with it.
Any discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 29, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
No.
House Bill 29 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 157. The reading clerk will read the House bill.
House Bill 157, engrossed, Healthcare Providers Sexual Assault Protections 2, sponsored by Representative Bovee, an act relating to healthcare providers, was referred to Committee Number 10, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Baldwin, Boner, and Peterson. Excused, Senators Bouchard and Scott. Senator Peterson, acting chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Scott? Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I would move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 157. And I'll go ahead and explain the bill, Madam Chairwoman.
Oh, you do?
That's yours? That's yours. I'm sorry. Let's turn that over. There is a committee of the whole amendment. I'd ask for that to be read at this time.
Will the reading clerk read the amendment?
House Bill 157, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, to engrossed copy, page 4, lines 16 through 19.
Senator Peterson?
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I would move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 157. And again, for an explanation on the bill and the amendment, I would turn it over to the good senator from Casper, Senator Landon.
Thank you. Senator Landon?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I appreciate that, and I appreciate the Vice Chairman of the committee. Madam Chairman, this is a bill that comes to us in part because of a case up in Natrona County that garnered national attention and involved multiple states. A Natrona County physician was ultimately found guilty of multiple sexual assaults after some very brave women came forward. Madam Chairman, it's difficult and it's too bad that we sometimes have to have good discussion on public policy because of very bad things. But that in part is what drove this legislation. All parties, legislators, constituent groups, our healthcare associations, our medical board, our hospitals, all have come together to address what is in this bill. A lot of work went on before the session and a lot of work on the other side. So I would encourage you to take out your green copy because it is an engrossed copy. Madam Chairman, a little bit more about this bill. When a bad actor goes too far, it unfortunately paints a picture of all of our healthcare professionals, and we know that is not, of course, fair. Because these sorts of things don't take place very often. This bill attempts to strike a careful balance to protect those good providers, but at the same time tighten some loopholes that allowed these despicable acts to occur by one individual. This bill provides enhanced patient safety, and at the same time, And one of the more important things, I believe, is that it stands to provide some liability protection for our providers, Madam Chairman, and also to our oversight boards. It's a balance that has been endorsed by all parties. We had good testimony in the committee, and the bill comes out with a lot of support, Madam Chairman. Real quickly, fellow senators, I'd like to walk you into the bill. Just to call attention to some of the details that we suggest therein. Section 1 defines healthcare provider as anyone who is licensed to provide care or treatment, including physicians, nurses, dentists, chiropractors, etc. When we go into 331118, we broaden the definition of what is currently in statute to include all healthcare providers, not just physicians. As you know, and as the Labor Committee can attest to, we have allowed lots more ability to practice medicine in the state of Wyoming, and so we need to broaden that statute. Section 2 of the bill goes into our sexual assault statutes and adds healthcare provider as someone to be in a position of authority. Interestingly enough, Madam Chairman, that is one of the issues that nearly got one of the cases up in our county thrown out because this language simply did not exist in our statute. Sexual assault is in the second degree is defined on page 4. On page 5, we add language to our criminal procedure title chapter, which states that any health care provider who has pled guilty to an offense punishable under our sexual battery statute cannot have that record expunged. And I'll come back to that in just a moment to explain some of the reasoning there. This actually is a section of the bill carefully crafted with the help of interest groups and will serve to protect our boards later on. There is a very real potential for civil action involving another state board who allowed the doctor in Casper to leave that state and wind up here in Wyoming and taking some rather shady past activities with him out of that state. And so that, Madam Chairman, is my reference earlier to some protections that we're trying to provide to our boards or allow them to provide for themselves. Section 4 of the bill, page 7, is important. On or before July 19, all of these licensing boards that I have mentioned will be required to conduct a review and promulgate new rules with regard to sexual misconduct. And then Section 5, Madam Chairman, makes the bill effective immediately. Once again, I would tell you that a lot of work has gone into House Bill 157. I think it creates some great opportunity for us to provide protection for some patients. But at the same time, I like the fact that it encourages our boards to get together. Let's set that bar a little bit higher and thereby protect their interests as well. And so I would encourage an aye vote on House Bill 157.
Thank you. Senator Peterson?
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I've already asked for that standing committee or committee of the whole amendment to be read in, and just by way of explanation, I went ahead and moved that amendment already. It refers to page 4, lines 16 through 19. The language there suggested, as we try to address the sexual assault, this is in regards to Section 6-2-303, sexual assault in the second degree. A person is guilty of sexual assault in the second degree if he subjects another person to, and then we've changed the wording there. That's the proposal. Instead of using words like substantially and reasonably, it would now read sexual contact or sexual intrusion in the person's capacity as a health care provider in the course of providing care, treatment, services, or procedures to maintain, diagnose, or otherwise treat a patient's physical or mental condition. And that's the amendment, and I'd ask for the body's favorable consideration.
Any discussion on the amendment? Senator Landon?
Madam Chairman, I would encourage the body to vote aye. I think this language is much better than the language that came to us from the other side. Thank you.
Question.
All those in favor of Senator Peterson's motion to adopt the Standing Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 157, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Motion is passed. We're back on the bill. Further discussion?
Question.
All those in favor of Senator Peterson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 157, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. House Bill 157 has passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 175. Oh, Mr. President?
Madam Chairman, I have privilege of the floor.
Yes, Mr. President.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Members of the Senate, once again, we have some young people from Riverton High School joining us today. They're right behind me, and welcome them. Please, they're the family, career, and community leaders of America, and Pam Rivers is with them. Let's give them a warm welcome to the Wyoming Senate. Hey.
Thank you, and welcome.
Madam Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oh, did you? 1 second. Okay.
1 second.
All those opposed? All righty. The motion's passed.
All righty. Yay. So far, so good.
All righty.
All righty then.
Is there any messages from the House or standing committee reports?
March 5, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 10, to whom was referred House Bill 146, Equal Pay Penalties, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Baldwin, Boner, Bouchard, Peterson, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 4, to whom was referred House Bill 119, Genetic Information Privacy, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Coe, Ellis, Pappas, Rothfuss, and Wasserberger. Senator Coe, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number two, to whom is referred House Bill 78, engrossed, Omnibus Water Bill Construction, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon. Senator Burns, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number two, to whom is referred House Bill 162, engrossed, Penitentiary Savings Fund Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, and Landon. Excused, Senator Hastert. Senator Burns, Chairman.
Okay, announcements. Senator Hicks, come up here, would you please? Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Are we ready for the motion?
Not yet.
No. Okay. All right.
Not yet.
We have the motion to
be ready. Already.
Already. Already.
Already.
Okay, Senator Perkins.
We are ready for the motion. All right. Thank you. Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 2 o'clock.
Okay, announcement. Senator Coe.
Mr. President, your committee number four had on the agenda this morning House Bill 53, State Educational Programs. We're going to take that up on adjournment today in our room down the hall down here.
Mr. Vice President, Senator Von Flagner, go ahead.
Mr. President, your committee number nine, Minerals, will meet about 12:30 in room Jonah Room S18 to consider the following: House Bill 129, engrossed, Glider Kit Vehicles Title and Registration; House Bill 144, engrossed, Wyoming Invest Now Exemption Amendments; and House Bill 172, engrossed, Produced Water Treatment. And as a heads up to the Minerals Committee, we'll be meeting, although I don't have my official announcement yet, tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. to consider House Bill 152, Wind Energy Equipment Storage.
Mr. Vice President, rules, do you have that? Make that announcement as well, please.
I don't have that.
Senator Hicks, go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. President, your committee number five, Agriculture, Public Lands, Water Resources, and Guns, will be meeting on Tuesday upon adjournment to take up House Bill 130, State Fair Endowment, and House Bill 168, Stand Your Ground.
I don't have a rule then.
Senator Perkins, I believe that meeting will be tomorrow morning at 8:30, the Rules Committee on House Bill 186. If you'd like to make that announcement, we'll get the announcement out.
Okay, thank you. Mr. President, the Rules Committee will be meeting at 8:30 tomorrow in room 1. Was it L56?
House Bill 186, Senator Perkins. Room to be determined.
Room to be determined on House Bill 86.
186.
Thank you. On House Bill 186.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee travel number six will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. General Room S27 to consider the following bills: HB 6, Research and Wildlife Information Confidentiality, and House Bill 133, engrossed, Display of National Motto.
Senator Baldwin.
Mr. President, your committee number eight, Transportation, will meet today on adjournment in room S27 to consider the following bills: House Bill 39, Wildlife Conservation License Plates; House Bill 84, Approval of Bridge Designs, Plans, and Specifications; and House Bill 93, Speeding Fine Amendments 2.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number seven, Corporations, tentatively is planning a meeting tomorrow upon the noon recess for interim topics with our friends down the hall.
Any other announcements? Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number two, Appropriations, will meet down at the JAC room at 12:30 to continue our negotiations in conference committee with our opposite number over the budget bill.
Senator Von Flader.
May I have privilege of the floor, please?
Yes, sir, you may.
I would remind the Senate that your interim topics need to be handed in. It was originally 5 p.m. tonight, but it'll actually be 24 hours, according to the new letter that we received, 24 hours before your meeting as a group with your like partners down the hall. And so 24 hours before that, you need to hand in your interim topics, give LSO time to put them in order. Thank you.
You heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate will stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Oh, good job, everybody.